It was a dramatic victory at the High Court on Friday for the former Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams in his month-long defamation case against the BBC. The veteran Republican was awarded €100,000 in damages after a jury found that he'd been defamed by the Spotlight programme, which published a claim that Mr Adams had sanctioned the murder of Dennis Donaldson in 2006. Mr Donaldson, who worked for Sinn Féin, was outed as a British agent prior to his death. Later, we will get the reaction from the National Union of Journalists to the jury's decision. In the aftermath of the case, Gerry Adams said that he was mindful of the Donaldson family, and he called on the Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan to meet with them as soon as possible. He said that there was an onus on everyone to deal with legacy issues. The family of Dennis Donaldson, who was murdered at a small cottage in Glenties in County Donegal 19 years ago, said Mr Adams had trivialised their family's tragedy by reducing the events which damaged their lives to a debate about damage to his reputation. "I've been speaking with their solicitor, Enda McGarrity, who told me why the family was upset by the case."
Yes, well, coming into this case, the family were ambivalent as to the outcome. The case was seen as a sideshow in that the family were aware it wasn't the type of case that would assist them in their long and torturous search for answers and accountability. But of course, as the trial played out, it became difficult to ignore and re-traumatising in many ways. The family had to listen along as private and sensitive information was tossed around with little regard to the Donaldson family. And probably the most galling part of the whole process for the family is that they've had to sit through 5 weeks of hearings in a case which concerned the murder of their loved one, Dennis Donaldson. And yet, when they have tried to pursue their own legal remedies, they have been stonewalled at every turn. So the process has been an extremely difficult one for the family.
The focus of this trial was, as you say, on Gerry Adams, who won his case. But now that the case is over, does the family want the attention to be refocused back on the case of Dennis Donaldson, whose murder in 2006 remains unsolved?
Absolutely. As I said, it's been a torturous 19 years search for justice. And the family acknowledged that this case was ostensibly about Gerry Adams' reputation, not about uncovering the murder and circumstances surrounding the murder of Dennis Donaldson. However, what this case does do is shine a light on the wider and clearly more important issue of the circumstances surrounding Dennis Donaldson's murder. Indeed, in the trial, Judge Owens, who's a very experienced and well-respected judge, said that the conspiracy surrounding how Dennis Donaldson was murdered is a very serious matter of the highest public interest. Now, the fact that the family have never had anything resembling an effective investigation into this murder highlights an uncomfortable truth for authorities on both sides of the border, actually, and particularly where legacy cases are concerned.
There is a Garda investigation ongoing into the murder of Dennis Donaldson. Has the family been told what progress or whether progress is being made in relation to that?
They've been periodically updated, not, as they would say, in a satisfactory way, but the Garda investigation is limited in that, as we heard during the Adams trial, it is focused on who pulled the trigger and not circumstances surrounding the murder of Dennis Donaldson, which are extremely important. And when we look to mechanisms which could explore those, you have things like coroner's inquests. Now, one of the practical difficulties is that the inquest has been adjourned 27 times, which is quite an unprecedented delay. The reason for that, those adjournments have been down to the Garda investigation being ongoing for this period of time. So it begs the question, how is justice to be delivered to the Donaldson family if the Garda investigation is only looking at a limited aspect of the murder and the coroner's inquest won't begin until that process finishes? And that has led the family to call for a commission of investigation to properly investigate these issues.
Yes, and a similar call was made by the former police ombudsman Nuala O'Loan and by the former Human Rights Commissioner Monica McWilliams. But the Irish government has said no to that because of the fact that there is an ongoing criminal investigation. Do you accept that the criminal investigation must take precedence here, that should be completed first before any public inquiry could be considered?
Ordinarily, that would be the standard course of action, but this is a particularly unique case whereby we have a Garda investigation that is only looking at part of the issue. And beyond that, we have a unique cross-border situation in that Dennis Donaldson became exposed in Northern Ireland, then fled to Donegal across the border, was killed there, and an investigation has began in the Republic of Ireland. But there's a unique cross-border dimension to this. And it's not dissimilar to issues like the Oma Bomb inquiry, where other mechanisms just are not sufficient to deal with something on the scale and that has the cross-border dynamic.
Does the family then believe that there needs to be a parallel inquiry, that there needs to be effectively two inquiries set up, one on either side of the border?
Well, there are different ways to do it. The key issue is around information sharing, and there are state bodies both sides of the borders that have information which will be relevant to an inquiry into the murder of Dennis Donaldson. One way to do it, and one way that the Oma Bomb inquiry has sought to do it, is to set up a memorandum of understanding whereby the governments agree in principle to share information. That process, some might say, may not work because it doesn't have the... It could be toothless in that there's no legislative compellability for the witnesses or the evidence. So it could well be that inquiries or parallel investigations are needed both sides of the border. But certainly a willingness to engage at this point at a political and ministerial level is what the family are seeking.
The family has said it does not believe the claim of responsibility for the killing, which was made by the real IRA. Do you believe then that a public inquiry would help to establish who was responsible or who was behind this?
Yes, it would certainly assist with that. Who was behind it or who pulled the trigger isn't the only question. You know, the circumstances around leading up to that, how Dennis Donaldson became to be exposed, how his location came to be known in Donegal. There are lots of ancillary questions, all of which I think the family are aware. We may not get full, unvarnished answers to every aspect, but certainly at this point, they haven't even got close to the truth. And they deserve answers and accountability.
There is a new Minister for Justice in the Irish government, and indeed Gerry Adams outside the court after the case called for Jim O'Callaghan to meet with the family of Dennis Donaldson. Will the family be seeking a meeting with him now, and what are you asking him to do?
They will, and it'll be at this point to engage on the issue generally and try to figure out how best we can come to a solution here. I think there has to be an acknowledgement on every side that the current status quo is not working. This family are 19 years down the line and they're no further forward. So there needs to be a discussion, and the family would certainly welcome fairly prompt engagement with the minister on the issue.
And that was Enda McGarrity, who is a solicitor representing the family of Dennis Donaldson, speaking to us earlier. And we asked on Garda Síochána about the status of the investigation into the murder of Dennis Donaldson. And they told us that investigation is still ongoing, and anyone with information should contact the incident room at Letterkenny Garda Station or contact any Garda Station. Now, what are the implications for journalism arising out of Gerry Adams' victory at the High Court against the BBC? Well, Seamus Dooley is the Irish Secretary of the NUJ, the National Union of Journalists. I spoke with him earlier, and I put it to him that the verdict on Friday was a good day for Gerry Adams, but a bad day for journalism.
I think it is a day which gives us pause for reflection, and the first thing we should say is that Gerry Adams was entitled to take his case, but it does have profound implications for the practice of journalism, and I think it has implications both in terms of defamation law, but also for me in terms of journalism in Northern Ireland and the relationship between Sinn Féin and journalists in Northern Ireland.
Okay, outside the court afterwards, Gerry Adams said that he took the case to put manners on the BBC, which he said was out of sync with the Good Friday Agreement. Well, what did you take that to mean?
Well, I found that a chilling comment, actually. He referred to putting manners on the BBC, to me, means putting them back in their box. The reality is that Spotlight has, for over 40 years, done some of the most amazing investigative journalism. Margaret Thatcher tried to ban Spotlight because of their coverage of Gibraltar 3. They exposed the King Cora at the heart of the British establishment. Recently, they did work on steak knife. And in fact, the Sinn Féin mayor of Derry led the campaign to save BBC Radio 4 News Service. So I found the attitude quite chilling, but also unfair and unreasonable in the circumstances.
The former Irish news editor Noel Doran told the Guardian newspaper this week that the case would have a chilling effect in newsrooms, that people will be thinking very carefully about anything to do with Gerry Adams. Do you agree with him then?
That is precisely what Mr. Adams meant when he said putting manners on the BBC. And that's extremely worrying. It doesn't matter whether Gerry Adams was in the IRA or not, as far as I'm concerned. He is a figure of huge significance to journalists, to historians, to academics, and there is no doubt that he had an influence on the shape of history of Northern Ireland. And on that basis, any journalist has a right, any academic, to question and probe. The issue here, I think, under defamation is the issue of fair opinion and how you square that circle.
OK, and I'll get to that in a moment, but it was an expensive case for the BBC. They could have settled it, according to Gerry Adams' lawyer, and that would have been, no doubt, would have been cheaper, and they didn't. Gerry Adams walks away with €100,000 in damages and his reputation intact, it has to be said. Is there a lesson for other media organisations arising out of this case?
I think the cost is much more than 100,000. The cost is 4.2 million in terms of costs. Olivia Kane, a respected lawyer, has said that Mr. Adams himself may end up having costs of 1 million. I think it would be very dangerous if journalists who carry out an investigation and have open to them under legislation the defence of honest opinion, then were put in the position where they had to settle because of costs. I think what arises here is a need. Obviously, BBC will be looking at their practices, but it does actually underpin the need for a review of our own defamation law as well.
Yes, and BBC Northern Ireland's director Adam Smith said outside the court that if the BBC's case cannot be won under existing Irish defamation law, it's hard to see how any ones could. And I note that the law lecturer Owen O'Dell is quoted in the Sunday Independent today, and he said that the defence of fair and reasonable publication is of little value to the media because it has never succeeded. What's your union saying then to the Minister for Justice when he gets round to reforming the defamation laws per the programme for government?
Well, I think, first of all, we need to look at the defence of honest opinion, and how you square that circle in the context of journalists' right to protect sources is a real difficulty. For many years, the NUJ was in favour of retaining juries. I've now reached the conclusion that in defamation cases, that juries are not appropriate. And one of the reasons is we will never know why the jury reached this decision. If, as in Northern Ireland, had Mr. Adams taken his case in Northern Ireland, the case is heard before judges, you have the benefit of a written judgment. You have a benefit of a detailed explanation of the reason why a verdict is given. And that provides an insight and a guide. Here, we don't know. I think defamation has never been a priority. Defamation law reform has never been a priority. I also think we have to look at, both from Mr. Adams' point of view and from the BBC point of view, the notion that this case has been running since 2016. Does anyone believe that that is fair or reasonable? And equally, does anyone believe that the costs involved in taking defamation costs are realistic for the ordinary citizen? Not every citizen whose feel their reputation has been damaged could risk that kind of case.
That was Seamus Dooley, the Irish Secretary of the National Union of Journalists, speaking to me earlier.